السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم طهر قلوبنا واشرح صدورنا وحسن أخلاقنا وثبت أقدامنا على صراطك المستقيم. اللهم نور قلوبنا بنور القرآن ونور الإيمان. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and blessings on our beloved messenger Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely to open the hearing channels of our hearts to his remembrance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us truth as the truth and to help us to follow and act upon it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us falsehood as falsehood and to stay away from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten our hearts with the nur of his words, his kalam, the Quran. And we ask him to grant us those qualities which he loves and make our inside image, our akhlaq, beautiful, that's beloved to him. Last time we started this Quran study group with a revelation of Iqra. And what happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as was mentioned, was told by Waraq ibn Nawfal that this is the same angel who came to Musa alayhi salam, and this is what's going to happen. Now, there came what's called Fatratul Wahi, a gap in revelation. After this encounter, which is sort of very strange for anybody, like we said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like a normal human being. He was a father, he was a husband, he was a friend, he was doing business, and suddenly he has this encounter. And he had some doubts about it. And this man said, no, this is what it means. So now, what would be your normal response? Your response would be, well, when does this angel come again? Or what's going to happen next? Well, nothing happened. Now, various historians have said that it was probably about 6 months approximately that nothing came down. During this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to Ghar Hira again, and he would still spend time in Khalwa, as you said, for that spiritual isolation to think. So, was it by accident that revelation stopped? Did Jibreel alayhi salam lose his way? No, this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we can postulate, which may be correct or not, that this time was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to adapt to this, to digest the encounter that he had, to feel, because what's going to happen is his whole life trajectory, his direction of his life is suddenly going to change. He has been told that you are the prophet of Allah. You've received revelation. So that Iqra was the first indication that he was given prophethood. I mean, we know from him that he was a prophet. He said, Kuntu Nabiyan wa Adam Baina Jasad Ruh wa Jasad. But that he was told afterwards. That time he didn't know. So now he is thinking, what's going to be my future? His whole direction of life is going to change. Now imagine we make career changes. Suppose a doctor suddenly decides to become an attorney. It's a complete change. You know, somebody else, you know, in our lives, you know, we get married, it's a complete change. We get divorced, it's a change. Sickness comes, it changes your life. Now, this is much more than that. You know, this is between the dunya and something beyond. So, perhaps the wisdom was to give Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam enough time to think about the impact of what has just happened. Let his heart get used to the meaning of being a messenger, a Rasul, and a Nabi. Okay. So, that is something that we should think of, that there was a gap that we should know after the first one, and there was wisdom behind it, which Allah knows. So on one of these, after that 6 months or whatever time it was, I mean, there are some narrations that say 2 years, which seems highly unlikely and they're not very reliable. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming back from Ghar Hira and he hears his name being called. He looks, he sees nobody. Then he looks up and he says, this is a hadith narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah and Muslim and Bukhari, muttafaqun alayh, that when I looked up, he says, I saw the same malak, the same angel who had come to me in the ghar. And he was sitting on a kursi. It's called kursi. You can call it chair. Don't think of these chairs. And he extended from the horizon all the way as far as I could see. So when he saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his massive form, he again got scared. And he started running. And in this narration of Jabir ibn Abdullah, he said, as he was running, he tripped and fell, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he got up and he ran home again to our mother Khadija radiallahu anha. Same thing, zammiluni, zammiluni, dathiruni, dathiruni, cover me, wrap me up, so he's scared. As he calms down, comes the next revelation. Because he's wrapped up with all of these extra clothes, because he's shivering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals Surah Al-Muddathir, which according to the majority of scholars is the second revelation. There are some opinions that Noon wal Qalam was second, but the majority say, based on this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he didn't encounter Jibreel alayhi salam between the first and this, because he identified that this is the same angel who had come in Ghar Hira to me. So, Surah Muddathir is revealed. So, we are going to read these 7 ayahs. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir. Qum fa'andhir, wa rabbaka fakabbir. وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَحْهِرْ وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاصْبِرْ. What does that mean? We'll read the translation in English and once in Urdu, and then we'll go over what this means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who are wrapped up or covered in garments, Qum, arise, wa anzir, and give the warning. Wa rabbaka fakabbir, and your Lord, you magnify his greatness. Wa thiyabaka fatahhir, and purify your garments. That's literal. Wa rujsa fahjur, and keep away from rijs, impurity and idols, what people used to worship. And give not something in order to receive more. وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاصْبِرْ, and for your Lord, show patience. This is the literal translation. Maybe we can have it read in Urdu.
اے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, جو کپڑا لپٹے پڑے ہو, اٹھو اور ہدایت کرو اور اپنے پروردگار کی بڑائی کرو اور اپنے کپڑوں کو پاک رکھو اور ناپاکی سے دور رہو, اور اس نیت سے کون کو احسان نہ کرو کہ اس سے زیادہ کے طالب ہو, اور اپنے پروردگار کے لیے صبر کرو.
جزاک اللہ خیر. سو As we said, we are going over in chronological order, not in the order in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the Quran compiled. So we started with 96, now we are on 74, surah number 74, first seven ayahs. And this is the Makkan Quran, and Makkan Quran has a distinct style. One, as you can see, the ayahs are brief, two words, three words. And they have a rhyme. You can see the rhyme. Ya ayyuhal muddathir kum fa anzir wa rabbika fa kabbir wa thiyabaka fa tahhir. You know. So there is a rhyme to it. So many of the Makkan surahs have brief ayahs and they rhyme. And that helps you to identify where it was revealed, even though the historical facts are there. And the other thing is the content of the surahs. The Makkan surahs, the themes of the surahs have to deal with the revelation of the Quran, that this is the truth from your Lord, the risala of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, confirming that he is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, akhirah, the resurrection, and individual accountability, hisab. These are the themes of all Makkan revelation. As we said, nothing for the first 12 and a half years was revealed in terms of commandments of salah, saum, zakat, hajj, halal, haram, none of that was revealed. Just these themes. And of course, you could say, when you say tawheed, that means it's forbidding shirk. Okay. So, these are the themes in which this Quran starts. As we said, Surah Al-Alaq was the first revelation that assigned prophethood, Nabuwah, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the first revelation that assigned Risala, or messengership, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because as you know, there are some of these chosen people who were Anbiya, only Nabi, but they were not Rusul, Rasul. Rasul is a Nabi and a Rasul. His job is also not just to receive, but to convey to people, Risala. So, here Risala is being granted to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the proof of that? We'll come to that in a minute. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now you see the scene, here is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his home, wrapped up in all of these garments. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal muddathir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Ahmad. Ya ayyuhal muddathir. Muddathir means someone who's got a lot of layers of garments. In the Arabic language, dithar means outer garments, you know, like thobes and outer overcoats and things. The inner garments are called shi'ar. What is right next to your body, which is more essential, is called shi'ar. This is for more beautification, for comfort, you're wrapping up outside. Okay. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something to the effect that the Ansar are my shi'ar and the rest of the people are my dithar. In other words, he gave a special status to the Ansar, that they are my most closest and most intimate, and everyone else is my outer garments. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses him that, O you who are wrapped up in all these clothes, who are covered with all these clothes. Now why that mode of address? In the Arabic language, this is a way of addressing people with affection, with love. Yet there is a component of a slight reprimand, means don't do what you are doing. Okay. Yes, you are wrapped up, you are comfortable. It's just like if you had a child who is wrapped up and he's sleeping and you want him to get up. And you just said, oh, you sleepy one, get up. Oh, you wrapped up. Oh, you comfortable one, get up. So out of love, you are describing what they are doing. But the hint is, get out of there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to use words like this, because Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was called by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Abu Turab, the father of dust. One time he said, get up ya Abu Turab, because Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha at one time had had some domestic disagreement. So Ali radiallahu anhu, and even in the most noble and honorable home, these things can happen. And you know, the house of Fatima radiallahu anhu, those who have been, is right next to it. It's like from here to the next room. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his house and he found Ali radiallahu anhu sleeping outside. And he was covered with dust because, you know, Masjid Nabawi was full of dust. So he saw him there and he thought about it. So he prodded him with his foot and said, Ya Aba Turab, O father of dust, means get up. So this was a title given. In other words, don't lie there. Okay. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed in another surah, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil, which has similar meaning, okay, covered up. You know, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran many, many places, and not once has he said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because even though that is factual and correct, it is considered a lesser degree of closeness. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Isa, Ya Yahya, Ya Zakariya, Ya Musa, you know, Ya Ibrahim, Ya Nuh. All of these people have been addressed. All the Ulul Azm, Ya Adam, have been addressed by their names like that. But for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's used terms like this. Ya Ayyuhal Nabi, Ya Ayyuhal Rasul, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil, Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir. Words like that, which show sort of a special honor for him and special intimacy and affection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir. Now, in our own lives, we have to project this, that he's addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is he addressing us? Because we are covered with layers and layers and layers of things in our life. Layers of comfort, layers of luxury, things that essentially put us to sleep. So Allah is telling us, leave some of those things. Qum fa'andhir. Qum means stand up, arise. Means you are being given a job. Get up to do something. And this is the greatest of all jobs, that you are going to warn people. Andhir means to warn. Warn them of what? Of what is coming ahead. Warn them of what the consequences are of what they are doing, of shirk and all the bad things that they were doing. Warn them against everything that puts a barrier between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, warn them against it. Warn them about the day of judgment that is coming. Warn them about the Jahannam that's coming. Warn them about the consequences of disobedience in this life and in the grave. And give them all kinds of warnings so they may move away from the things that Allah doesn't want. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, anzir, warn them. But he says first, Qum. Qum is a direct imperative command to you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You stand up. You arise first. What is the meaning of arise? It means you become solid. Solid in your akhlaq, solid in your iman, solid in your tawheed. You know, solid in everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a hint that the first person that we should be concerned about, who has to make the change, is me. Today, what do we do? Said, oh, let's go and tell this. Let me fix this. Let me give dawah to so-and-so. And we, who do we ignore and put in second? Myself. So, qum, first yourself. You get up. Because only if you are like that, can you be an effective da'i for others. Okay. Otherwise, you have ineffective dawah. If I tell you to tell the truth and then you catch me lying, would my words have any impact on you? No. You know, If I ask you to stay away from something disliked or haram, and then you see me doing that, it's going to have no impact. So, oh, he doesn't do or she doesn't do what they preach. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us right off the top, قُمْ through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who did not need all of this, but indirectly to us, that you literally and figuratively stand up upright. Means you have to be ready, you have to have zeal, you have to drop everything else, and then you stand up. Start with yourself, because this is the skeleton. Without a skeleton, you're on your face, there's nothing. You have to be strong enough, because the responsibility which you will hear in Surah Muzammil, which will come next, Allah says, we are going to put on you a very heavy burden. Because this is a responsibility that's being given to a messenger that has never been given to any messenger before, including Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, because they were all sent for a tribe or for a city or for a country. Nobody was sent as a messenger for all of humanity except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mubashiran wa nadhira. You know? Wadayin al-Nahi, Sirajan wa Munira, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about him. That you are the giver of glad tidings, you are the warner, you are the Siraj, the light, for who? Rahmatan lil alameen, for all the worlds. You are a Nabi for? Nas jamia, all of mankind. This responsibility was not given to any other Prophet. So this is the heaviest of responsibility. It's not just the people of Mecca. It's not just the Arabs. Okay. So you have to be strong to take this responsibility. Also, unless we are solid and erect and upright, we really cannot make changes in others. That's why, to give you an example, all of you fly, and when they are giving you instructions in the beginning, what do they say? In case of a drop in cabin pressure, what happens? The masks will drop automatically. Then what do they say? First, put on, even if you have a little child with you or three children. So I want to take care of my, no. First put on the mask yourself, then take care of everything else. Because if you are not proper in the right, you will not be able to take care of anybody else. Okay. That's the first step that I should remember that always, especially because we all like to give dawah and, you know, non-Muslims and this and that and this. I need to be on solid grounds myself. Okay. So that's very, very important. Anzir, as we said, warn. Warn against everything, every belief, every system, every action, every habit, every characteristic that Allah dislikes. That's going to move you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's going to get you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's displeasure. Because if Allah is displeased with you, nobody can save you. And that displeasure may manifest in this dunya, in stress and anxiety and all other kinds of things, not just in death and disease, because Allah gave kingdoms to disobedient people. But the anxiety and the fear and all of that, that comes. Okay. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, and your Lord, كَبِّرْ. كَبِّرْ means to declare His greatness, that He is greater than everything else and anything else. Where do we declare this greatness? That declaration of Allah's greatness, of His being above everything else, has to be first in my heart. I have to be convinced. And then it should be with my words. It's not enough to say, when Eid comes, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then Allah is not Akbar in my life. My actions don't show that Allah is Akbar. If I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it mean? That means Allah is not Akbar. My desire is Akbar. Money is Akbar. In reality, in haqiqah, that's what it means. So when we say Allah to take your Lord and declare his greatness, that means all, in my heart, I should be clear that in front of Allah there is nothing. Okay. When I have power, but I, like Fir'aun, I should remember Allah is Akbar. If I remember Allah is Akbar, I'm not going to do any injustice. I'm not going to take advantage of my power. If I have wealth, I should remember Allah is Akbar. Watch where it is being spent. If I have anything else which gives me arrogance, remember Allah is Akbar. Similarly, in the position of, you know, the ultimate strength, like we just went through the feast of sacrifice. You have a lamb in front of you, and you have a knife. That's a completely helpless creature in front of you, that you have been given the power to cut the neck. What do you say when you cut the neck? Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Remind yourself, this is not your power. Allah is Akbar. That's been granted to you by Allah. Okay, Allahu Akbar. Anytime I think a thought comes to me of disobedience, my tape should play in my heart and my head. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Any desire comes that's not appropriate, Allahu Akbar. Any action where I want to show my anger, my Allahu Akbar. Be careful of your action, because Allah is Akbar. He knows and He sees. And if He were to deal with you like you are dealing, what would happen? Sometimes it's intellectual, you know, you are very smart. And you are showing people you are very smart. You are winning arguments and debates. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That's why we say morning and evening at least 100 times. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Thinking about it. And thinking about what I have done today when I was not conscious of Allahu Akbar. I did something. If Allah is Akbar as He is, I shouldn't have done that. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually it's for us, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no doubt about it. But reminder through him, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. And the word Rabb we used last time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say Allahu Akbar, your Rabb, because Rabb is Allah's rububiyah. Like was mentioned, He created you from nothing. He has given you everything. You know, you were hanging in there, in the womb of your mothers. Nothing, you know, 0.6 millimeter in size or less. And now you've become big and strong. You think you are Akbar? Allahu Akbar. So that, always be reminded that Allah is your Rabb. He sustains you. He can pull the plug anytime He wants. Anytime He wants. Literally pull the plug, you know. Because electrical things are going on here, electrical things are going on in your heart. You pull the plug, as they say, it's flat line, no electrical signals. Allahu Akbar. So that we should always keep in mind. The next, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَّحِّرْ. The word thawb, as we say thawb or thiyab, literally means clothes. But in the Arabic language, thiyab is also used for heart. In Arabic poetry, it was used for the word heart. Fatahhir means to purify your clothes. Now, if you take that as a literal meaning, means we should wear clean clothes, purified clothes. First of all, they have to be pure. There's a concept of purity. If my outfit is purchased out of haram earning, no matter how clean and pure it looks, brand new, it is not tahhir. So your earnings have to be pure. Then you cannot have najasa on it, impurities, because there is punishment for impurities. If you have knowingly your clothes are impure, as we know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people being punished in the grave. What was the reason? They were careless with the urine, it got on their clothes. So to wear clothes that are impure in that way. Now you can get dust on your clothes that looks dirty, but it's not impure. Okay? Impurities. It's a sin to wear impure clothes because you cannot touch the Quran, you cannot pray, you cannot do many things. Okay? So your clothes have to be purified in that sense. Okay? And as we said, clean. Now suppose you have very clean clothes, do you put them on a dirty body? No. You like to bathe and wash yourself. So that's the physical aspect. You know, new clothes, you know, on Eid, what do? We wash, we put on clothes. Now similarly, clean clothes are not put on a dirty body. Think about putting beautiful clean clothes and we are dirty inside. Because the other word of thiyab is your heart. So if there is arrogance, kibr, if there is delusion, ujb, I'm so full of myself, if there is hypocrisy, if there is shirk inside, you know, if there is greed inside, if there is jealousy inside, these are all impurities, najasa, spiritual. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to purify ourselves outside and inside. In Islam, even though there is a reputation that Muslims smell and they're dirty, but look at what our deen says, wash yourself 5 times a day. You take a bath and you do this and you, in the desert where there was very little water, you know, they had to do all of this. Because what are we doing in this? Washing our hands 100 times a day. Washing our face many times a day. What does it mean? There may be no dirt. It should remind you of inner purity. What did my hands commit that Allah doesn't like? Sinful eye. What did my eyes, I'm washing my eyes, what did my eyes see that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What in my mouth, what words did I say that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So every part of the body when we wash should remind us that I need to purify with istighfar and tawbah, every aspect of it. Then I deserve to wear clean clothes. وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَحِّرْ. Purify yourself internally and externally from everything that Allah is displeased with. Also, in that time, the, I won't say royalty, but the rich and famous and people in charge used to wear long thobes that used to drag, like the queen and all have a train, you know. The Prophet ﷺ told them, raise them above the ankle, because that, besides cleaning, doing vacuum cleaning of the floor, which made it physically dirty, but it was a sign of arrogance, kibr. The more money I had, the longer train I had. Bring them over your ankle. Purify your clothes. So some of the commentators have said, shorten your clothes so that it doesn't show arrogance. So those are some of the Mufassirun who have said something about the thiyab. And every time, what we ever do, we should reflect on it inside. Like when we wash clothes, we throw them in. How many times you use a washing machine and you throw clothes? Oh, my clothes are dirty. You should remind us, it's not an automatic thing. I'm cleaning my clothes, I should be cleaning my inside. I'm washing my face, I should be washing. And all of those things, if we are constantly reminding ourselves of what we need to do inside, and we have to be honest with ourselves, you know, I might say, oh, I'm fine, that's taking the easy. But if we look critically, we will find that some people may have greed, some people may have arrogance, some people may have other things, some people think that delusion himself, you know, that, oh, I'm so good. Whatever we have, we should acknowledge and work and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify us from that. وَالرُّجْسَ فَحْجُرْ. Rujs means dirt or filth, literally. But this is external filth. Okay. But more importantly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a dirty person. What is meant by rujs is, most of the commentators have used the word, the most greatest of impurity is shirk, idols. So they translate this ayah as, you know, move away from idols, do hijrah from idols. But rujs stands for dirt, physical, filth, physical, spiritual dirt, spiritual filth, attributing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making an idol, all of those things. So anything that defiles us, that makes us dirty, and of all of that, the greatest is shirk. We need to remember that and we need to take care of it as soon as we see a seed of it. The moment you notice something is coming in. Today, as Muslims, we don't worship idols. But we have an idol, which is called money. The moment you start feeling comfort with money or arrogance with money and security with money, oh, now I'm okay. There is a hint of shirk right there. Allahu Akbar. This is risk from him. He's given it. I have to use it right. He can take it. That's up to him. Always reminding ourselves that all of this can be rujs, can be impurity, because it affects our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My relationship, instead of dependence on Allah, my tawakkul on Allah, now it's on my bank account, on my investments. And if that becomes, then what the market has done in the last week, then I get depressed. And then I'm anxious. Why? Because that's where my attachment was. That's what I was depending on. Now it's gone. You know? So if my attachment, oh, Allah gives, Allah takes, no problem. Okay. So remember that fahjur is from hijrah. It's an active act. Means move away from all of these things. Migrate to Allah and His Rasul. I move from this to Allah. Hijrah. Fahjur. Command. Hijrah means to move away from every situation which is going to compromise my iman, which is going to compromise my obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may be a place. If I go to such and such place, or if I am in the company of such and such person, I become a little weak towards disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fahjur. Move away from even those places. Because our deen tells us that anything that's haram, everything that leads to that is also haram. Okay? So, alcohol is haram. Don't sit in the company of people who are drinking. Because a weak moment may come and they say, oh, there's nothing wrong, you know. Just if you have a beer, no problem. Or other things. You are in a moment of weakness. You go to a club and you're not that strong. And then you are tempted. You may not complete the full act, but the thoughts come. You start entertaining thoughts of zina, of cheating, of drinking. Even though you didn't do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped, but those thoughts came. That's also rujs. The thought itself is. So the moment that seed comes, you make hijrah from that and remind yourself, I am making hijrah to Allah and His Rasul. Okay? Move away from everything that is going to lead to that. وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرْ. Now, as we read, it says, don't do any favor, kindness, grace, charity to people, expecting more in reward. Means I'm helping someone, and I'm doing ihsan on somebody, and I expect, oh, he's ungrateful, he should do, return it to me at least, or return me more. It's like an investment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't expect more. Sometimes we even give in charity, knowing that Allah will give us more. Let me give more, because Allah will give me, give it to Allah. Yes, He will give you more. Don't give it with the intention that, okay, I'm going to get this back from Him. Okay? So that's one thing, that when we do mana, which is favors, kindness, giving money, don't expect anything in return. You do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is another meaning of tamnun in the Arabic language, which means weakness. Don't become weak in your resolve, in what you are going to do, in your effort of deen, in all of that. Tastakthir, when you are faced with the majority. When the majority are doing something else, now you become weak. Oh, everybody else is doing, how can I do this? Nobody else is doing salah, how can I pray? That's also, وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرْ. Because you look at the aksariyat, the majority are disobeying, then you become little weak. Say, oh, maybe I'll go home and do my salah. That's weakness. That's the same meaning. So this has both meaning. And there is a third meaning to this. وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ means don't look at what you have done of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as kathir. Oh, I have done, I am so good, delusional. You know, I do my prayers, I've done hajj, I do this, I give charity. Don't look at what you've done and think it's a lot. Because, first of all, what Allah has given you, this compares with nothing. Okay. Number two, even what good you have done is by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not from you anyway. So even when you are doing good, thank Allah, don't have contentment. Oh, I'm all set, I'm doing good. Remember that. Wali Rabbika Fasbir. This is the last ayah. And for your Lord, show sabr. And we did a whole session on sabr. The first part of sabr, the word sabr is not just patience, it's perseverance, continuing to do something, to remain calm, to not complain. For the sake of your Lord, means you are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because of anything else. Okay? It's not for show that let me show people how calm, I've had a major disaster loss and I'm looking cool. Inside I'm burning up, but I'm looking cool in front. That's for people, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, sabr, as we said, was three major categories, if you remember. Sabr, ala ta'a, means when Allah has given a commandment to do, obedience of that command requires sabr. Getting up for fajr at 4 o'clock in the morning requires sabr, perseverance. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in difficult times when everybody is Islamophobic requires sabr, perseverance. So, obedience of every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following it is called sabr, being steadfast. Also, sabr anil ma'asi, in the face of temptation. I'm tempted. I'm tempted to make illegal quick buck. I said, this is haram. I do sabr. I refrain from that. I withhold myself. I'm tempted to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I withhold. So, temptation and withholding from that is also sabr. And the third, which most commonly people understand, is when you have some kind of a challenge in your life, some musibah, some difficulty comes, some fitna, something else comes, some bala, some trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's a loss of some sort, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a death, whether it's any of that, that you do sabr. So you do sabr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under all circumstances. And it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have financial challenges, you do sabr. You get too much of money, you do sabr. You don't flaunt it, you don't become arrogant, you don't use it in bad ways, you don't waste it. If you're getting too little, you don't go out and look for haram ways, you do sabr. Intellectual challenges, that if you are smart, you be patient with that. You don't, you know, push people around with that because of your smartness. If you are challenged mentally, you do sabr with that. You be patient that this is what Allah has given me. Technically, you know, technology, you do sabr with that. That requires a lot. There is a lot available on these devices, okay? You sabr, Allah, I'm going to withhold. That's another thing which will take me back to when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالرُّجْسَ فَحْجُرْ. Rujs, impurity. I was just saying that physical impurities, we like to leave our shoes outside on the door because we don't want to bring dirt into the house. Yet, we carry spiritual dirt right in here. We bring them into our houses without thinking about it. And we go on it. I'm not saying everything is bad, but there is a lot of rujs that's available on this. Before, we used to bring it on TVs. Bring it into our house, not leave it at the door. Then we said we want to see it even bigger. Then we had mega TVs. Then we said we'll do even better, we'll carry it with us. Rujs, potential for rujs, we carry with us. So we should remember, just like we like to leave dirt at the door of our house, don't bring them into the mud room. Leave all of those things out. which doesn't mean that physically it's the phone, it's not physically the phone, but what that leads to, what is available on that, the temptations, the impurities, the disobedience, the wrong ideologies, the, you know, all kinds. And we have examples of all, with all of these people being brainwashed to kill people, to shoot people, to, you know, whether it's ISIS, whether these people today, the, you know, white supremacists, or anybody. This is all roots which has come on devices and media. And of course there's pornography and everything else that's available. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fahjur, leave it. If you have any app that leads to that, anything, delete. There's no need for it. So those are essentially some of the ayats that we wanted to cover today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us to stand up ourselves in akhlaq, in tawheed, in certainty of the akhirah, take hold of ourselves and then people around us. Starting with a fasbir, starting where do we start? Sabr, in our own homes, with our spouses, with our children, because we have power over them. In little children, 2-year-old, I can yell at him, I can spank him, I can give him this. No, Allah has given custody of you. Treat with the rahmah, that's sabr. Even though you get into arguments, back down. No need for unnecessary arguments. Sometimes, even when you are right, we should, may Allah teach me first and teach everybody to back off. I don't need to argue. I don't need to win this argument. Okay. Even when you are right. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I guarantee a place in the middle of Jannah for someone who stays away from arguing, even when he's right. Because once argument starts, then things deteriorate, the language deteriorates and feelings deteriorate, many things. So we have to be very careful with all of those. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us to think of Him always as Allah is Akbar. To purify ourselves internally and externally. To stay away from everything that leads to haram. And no matter what challenges come, no matter what difficulties we face, no matter what we are given of bounties, we always remember that we have to act with patience and with gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to make our own akhlaq the best first. So that, with that we will end inshallah, and we will go for Maghrib. And then after Maghrib we will have about a half hour available for question and answers inshallah. And